From the lane, Parshas Kisavo. Finally, I get to come back to, in this case, Shunabet, Lev L'Chayal, get to speak to you live. Last 2 weeks, I was speaking to myself, which I like to do a lot, but, you know, it's not so Parsha. This week's Parsha, Parshas Kisavo, hopefully a lesson that you will take with you for the rest of your life. Here is the idea. The Pasuk tells us we have the Maisa Bikurim in the beginning of the Parsha. It is actually my Bar Mitzvah Parsha, so it means a lot to me. So this part I know by heart. It says, and I would have brought Svarim in, but there are none in the base Madrash. So I have to go find a Mishnah here in Bikurim. Okay, fine. So we'll try to do the best that we can without Svarim. It says like this. Kisavu alar zesha Hashem lokecha nosein lecha. Right? What happens? You bring the Bikurim. It's not the Batena. You bring it, put it in a tenna. You put it in a basket. Vilakacha koyein. Es hatena miyadecha. And he took the tenna. He took the basket miyadecha. V'nicho. And he did, as Rashi says, he did minifa. Right? He did this action where he lifted the hand up and made it holy. So the Mishnah in Bikurim, Perek Gimel, Halacha Ches, says the following. Brishona. So what would happen? So he says that Hashirim mivim bikurim bekaltot shel kesef. The wonderful Ashirim, the rich people, would bring their baskets with kesef, v'shel zahav, silver and gold baskets, gorgeous baskets, 925, right? 14 karat gold. They would bring the trump basket. The aniyim, they couldn't bring the fancy schmancy baskets that they got in Hartzofim or, you know, on Central Avenue. A woven basket made of aravos. How do you say aravos in English? You could speak now. What's an arava? Shake the myrtle. Okay, so they would bring willows. Excuse me, they would bring willows. Woven willows. It was a pashuta basket, not so beautiful. And ready for this? They would bring it. The hasalim v'kim notim lekohanim. They would bring it to the kohanim. However, comments the bartenuer. What does it mean that they would bring? So says the bartenuer as follows: Saleh aniyim nitim lekohanim v'kaltot shel ashirim machzirim lahem mikan amru bata ani azel aniya. Good line. The bartenuer brings a good line. He says, you know the line: the rich stay rich, the poor stay poor. That comes from the bartenura. They would take the baskets that was hand woven from the aniyim, and they would take the fruits with the basket and keep the basket. But when it came to the ashirim and they gave gold and silver, fancy schmancy, they would say, no, take back your baskets. They're expensive. The rich stay rich. They get to bring the same basket every year. And now this Nebuch Ani, who had no money, has to go weave another basket the next time he brings Bikurim. Imagine the sight of what's going on over here. I spent all my time, my hard work in making this, and actually bringing Bikurim, even though I'm Ani, and I have one Nebuch little tree, and now I can't even keep my basket. Very difficult, one would argue. Comes along the Tosfos Yontif. Tosfos Yontif's Yortzeit was, I believe, last week, about a week and a half ago, because they made a big thing. Parshas Shoftim in shuls, no talking. The Tosfos Yontif was famous for his famous tefillah that he added that they have in some shuls, a Mishra Berech that gives chus to people who don't talk in shuls. I don't know if you know what that means, but there are people who don't talk in shuls. The Tosfos Yontif was famous for this. So says the Tosfos Yontif, by the way, which is just a parenthetical point, a very, very interesting person to look into if you want to. So he says like this. He explains what it was, how they actually made it out of aravos, and then he says like this: the kaimelani yes, a shaila, dii hachi aniyim mitbadshim. Aren't you embarrassing them? Why don't you make a takana, and the takana says like this: everybody has to bring woven baskets, no fancy schmancy, so everybody would be equal. Don't we have a parsha of chatzi shekel, the half shekel? Why couldn't the rich people bring more? So everybody at least will bring what they can bring. Even an Ani could afford a half shekel. Everybody's equal in the eyes of Hashem. Ulama lo taknu kidei shelo yitvayshu haniyim. Shafa Hashirim yaviu. Binitzarim kemo shematzino v'kama makomas. Let them bring woven baskets. V'yesh lomar mishum kovod beis elokeinu. Because there's no embarrassment when you're doing something for the sake of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We have a mitzvah zeh keli van veyo. Sometimes we allow you to do the mitzvah better than other people, right? We don't say everybody has to buy exactly the same lulav. You can't have better tefillin than the other person, right? We know this already, right? Not only that, we have an added mitzvah, possibly, that our lulav, not even, it's funny how the lulav holder's always made out of plastic, but the esrog holder, oh, that's always the one. Silver, fancy schmancy, right? Zeh keli van veyo. Snob of mitzvahs. We're supposed to have tefillin na, tzitzis na. It's supposed to be nice. So he says, that's why. But isn't there an element of bush over here? So comes along the Malbim on our parsha. And the Malbim says as follows. And this is a gorgeous Malbim in my humble opinion. What does it mean? So the Malbim says like this. Beautiful, beautiful Malbim that I think will explain this point and bring it home to, I think, us. He says like this. Tom. Lama hatena akoin haya erviwa klipa nizkar. So he gives different reasons. He brings three reasons why this is not an embarrassment and why it should be brought. So first of all, he says something beautiful. He says that it was actually the opposite of what we're all thinking. Hashir mevi'im bikurim bekalus shel kesef. Upeirush mimash zocha atena nilamech akoin yikach gamas atena. He took the baskets of the poor people. Lefisha peirush mishpon, right, as it says about. And by the way, just as a parenthetical, there's a raya that can bring you Rav Zilberstein in his svarim. Those that love his svarim. So in his sefer, actually on Gemara, so he asked the following question. Right, just we'll go off on a tangent just for a moment. He says the following thing. There's a shul in somewhere. I'm going to say America because we like to make fun of America. There's a shul in America, Chas v'Shalom. We're not going to make fun of Newcastle because God knows if there's any shuls there. And Toronto, wherever else everybody else is from here. And Hamilton. It's like, well, maybe a shul there. All right, okay. America, we know America. So the shul, they start this new minhag. One guy goes to Eretz Yisrael and he buys a fancy schmancy atara. You know what atara is? When you put on the talus, the silver thing. It's kind of a funny thing because generally the atarot, when you would have an atara, that actually was started off to be Hasidish Rebbe's. Only the Rebbe read the atara. I remember when I was first married, so I would go to my in-law's house. When I was first married, I thought that you had to go to your in-law's house. So I go to my in-law's house, and my father-in-law sometimes would daven by a Rebbe, Rabbi Isaacson. Zechon Levracha. Rabbi Isaacson was the Romana Rav. And he had gorgeous, oh my God, his bekushes were awesome. They were made out of gold and stuff like that. And he had, so I remember once I got an aliyah or something, it was mincha, and they wanted me to wear a talus, and they couldn't find the talus, and they gave me the Rebbe's talus. I felt like $1 million. Then he started screaming at me for wearing his talus. Okay, fine. But, right, that's a Rebbe shatal. So he had the shul, but he wants to be a Rebbe now. So he's wearing that tar. And now, there are some people in shul like, oh, I love that minhag. This guy buys it, this guy buys it. And there are some people who can't afford an atar. So they asked Rav Zilberstein whether this was muta. So he brings all the rayas that we just said. And he said, doesn't the Gemara say in Moed Katan? The Gemara says like this. There used to be a minhag to bring food to the avelim. But what would they do to show kavod to the avel? They would bring it in fancy baskets. Now the poor person would come, same thing like Bikurim, they would bring it in a pashna basket. And you'd have, imagine sitting there, what would happen? You'd have this fancy basket from, you know, Oh Nuts, from whatever. Oh goody, whatever your local ripoff place is, and they would have this right beautiful thing, and you would have your pasha basket of you know whatever you made from your house. So they made a takana, and the takana said you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that. Everybody has to have equal baskets. You only have to make baskets out of woven arova, whatever. So this Rav Zilberstein says there is a raya. So then he marshals this Tosfos Yontif like we're quoting. And he says, it's exactly the opposite of what you might have thought. Says the Tosfos Yontif, because Hevitas Rishis Priya Adama, Velo Nizkar, so says why? He says, because I made it myself. Why? Because Kiderecha Ani, She'aso Be'asmo Asatena. Mistom L'Shem Bikurim Asatena. He didn't make it stop. He made it. He says, oh my God, I can't believe I'm going up. Thank God I have something to bring to the Beis HaMikdash. I finally have an apple tree. I'm bringing these apples up. And he made it. Kedeshia Batara. They should be beautiful in this basket I made myself. Uba'aba Shetarachbo. He worked, he toiled on this basket. Zacha Shia Tafel. He says, no, it's Tafel to the Bikurim. It's like part of the Bikurim. You're not allowed to bring other things to Bikurim. It's like part of the Bikurim now. And this is going to be the Kohen. Aval Ashirim. What did they do? They walked into a store, right? They walked into some silver store and said, ooh, give me the most beautiful basket. Big deal. Lo yasa be'atzmam. Rocky Kanu. That, ready for this? This is, I didn't make this up. This is the Malbim. Vihu bizoy mitzvah. It's the opposite. That's an embarrassment to the mitzvah. You're an embarrassment, rich person. What'd you do? You just bought your way to Bikurim? L'havi b'kli shel erech u'bezeh yitbayesh l'ama lo tiknu ha'shirim yavo. Should be the other way. They should make a takana because it's an embarrassment to the rich people that they can only bring fancy stuff. They don't have time to make a basket for the Rabbana Shalom. Very interesting. He says, that's not a bizoyan to the ani. Ain't biyush la'ani. Because he made it a ma'isi adecha. And that's why the pasuk says, v'lakacha kohen atene. Where else would he take it from? Mi'adecha. It's a pashana. Where else is he going to take it from? No, I'm only going to take it from the baskets from your hand. The ones that your hands made. The other ones I don't want. Says the Tosfos Yontif, it's the opposite of what we think. Further says the Malbim. Further says the Malbim, he actually made this from a Ravos that he got from Sukkos. So it was so miyuchad and special that he used mitzvah gares mitzvah, mitzvah for another mitzvah. And then he says also because it shows these Aravos came from Eretz Yisrael, Mishubach, the land of Israel, the Bikurim, only are brought in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. What do we learn from this? By the way, just the end of Rav Zilberstein's case, because I know you're hanging on a thread. You want to know what's the answer. He says that probably you would be able to institute, similar to the Gemara in Mori Katan, that the shul, they're not allowed to wear ataras if everybody can't afford it. Although he quotes a Orach HaShulchan, which says that actually it's not a good minhag to wear an atara, because it shows that only the top part of the talus is holy, which isn't true. The whole talus is holy. He doesn't like the minhag of wearing an atara. In any case, that's the way he paskins. This is not similar to the case over here, because this is the mitzvah, the goof of the mitzvah itself, is it? Vaita. What do we learn from this? What is this teaching us? Why am I wasting your time? Good question. Thank you. So we learned something very, very beautiful, in my humble opinion, from this. What's going on over here is a very important lesson to you. You guys are fresh, but you're not fresh. You're not just Shana Aleph guys. You've been in it for a year, even if you haven't been here at Leiva Torah for whatever reason. You've been doing the Torah for a year. You've been working on yourself for a year. And one thing that I hope you realize from your year in Israel is things that you toil on yourself are so much more powerful. That Masechta that you started learning by yourself, the Mishnah Berurah, whatever it is, and so much more special to you. Rav Asher Weiss loves to quote the Rabbeinu Yonah, which explains that when the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Tishasheabo, that a person should learn, should be Omel, excuse me, the Mishnah says you should be Omel, should toil, he says, Tishasheabo is, it should be fun for you. The word Shashua is a baby's toy. It should be something fun. I should want to learn Torah. It shouldn't be something that I got no choice. I have no choice. I have to learn whatever to do. Check, I got to do it. I don't want to daven in the morning. But now they made davening at 8:30, so I have no choice. I have to come down. It's embarrassing if I don't come down. No. Rav Aaron Salvechik would quote the Gemara in Bava Metzia that tells a very strange case. The case is as follows. You have a person who brought to his friend, I'm just making this up, doesn't say what, bananas. And he says, dude, I'm going on a business trip. Can you watch my bananas? They're like super green. And he says, just watch them. He says, no problem, dude, I'll watch your bananas. The guy doesn't come back from the business trip 1 week, 2 weeks, and all of a sudden the bananas become yellow and they start to get brown. Uh-oh. So he's a nice friend. He says, I don't know when my friend's coming back. He goes to the market and he tries to sell them to make as much as he could on them. He comes back and the guy's like, where are my bananas? And he says, I'm a good friend. I sold them for you. He says, who told you to sell them? Adam Roy said, right, I prefer one of mine than nine of somebody else's. Meaning what? I toiled on that. I can make applesauce out of it, maybe. Maybe I'll make apple cake out of it. That was mine. I worked on that. My son pointed out to me on Shabbos. He says, Abba, I have a Shabbos sitter I have. Like a newish sitter. He says, you know, you really should get a new sitter The one that I have during the week. You should see, it looks like, you know, went through some sort of war. It went through a few wars. It's fallen in the water before. It really looks scared. It's my sitter, though. That's, you know what I'm saying? I got my notes in it. It's my sitter. I know it's all ripped. And it's my sitter. I can't part with it. Because I worked on it. That's my sitter. Maybe even there's some tears in that sitter. That's my sitter. We have to recognize the fact that if I don't work hard on something, I will not accomplish. It's mine. You have to own it. If you don't own it, it's not yours. And that's what this should be about your year. Whether you're going into the army, but this part of the year is the maturity. Say, you know what? Okay, I'm done. I had that first year of 18. Now I'm mature. Now what am I going to work on? What's going to be my thing? What's important to me? And obviously, this message is so important during Chodesh Elul, 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. We look at the Ribbono Shel'olam and we say, I own this. This is it. We come to Hashem every year and we say, this is my mitzvah. This is my thing that I did well. You know what? There are a lot of things I didn't do well. I admit it. I admit it. And here's the beauty of this statement. Think about, let's go back to the Ani. The Ani worked hard on something very pasha. Something made out of, think about what Aravos are. You know what happens to Aravos when they get drunk? It doesn't say he worked for years and years trying to make enough money so he can get enough silver to... No! We oftentimes make the mistake and think that Rosh Hashanah is a time that we beat ourselves up and say, why couldn't we be better? Why weren't we better? It's a terrible thing that we think this way. Hashem is only asking us to do a little bit better, to be a little bit better. And you're lucky, I assume, I hope, I don't know all of you, but you can go into Rosh Hashanah and what can you say to yourself? I got a lot better. I got a lot better. From where you were last year, for sure. But now how are you going to work on that? How are you going to get even better than that? How are you going to say, okay, this year I'm not going to do what I did last year. I'm not going to have the same habits. But step, then the next step. Not jumping steps. Not saying, okay, that's it. You know, the guy that New Year's comes and he's like, all right, I'm making a resolution. That's it. I'm losing 30 pounds. I see this all the time, even sometimes for myself. The yo-yo diet guy, right? They report very correctly that gyms, that workout places are super busy in January. And February, they're done. People, it doesn't work. I used to have a roommate who decided he made a New Year's resolution on Rosh Hashanah. He's going to be healthy. He was getting married. So every morning he would set, every morning, 5:45 in the morning, his alarm would go off to go to the gym. This went on for 3 weeks. He never got up. I would go to Minyan at 7 o'clock. I would come back. Beep, beep, beep. Finally, after 3 weeks, I mean, this is I'm a tzaddik. I waited 3 weeks for this. I took the alarm and threw it out the window. We were on the 6th floor. I threw it out the window. I paid him back for it. I threw it out the window. I said, enough already, dude. You're not getting up. But you got, so you do small things. You say to yourself, okay, you know what? I'm not going to work out every single day. Wednesday's my day. Then all of a sudden, the next week, I say, okay, Tuesday and Thursday, whatever it is. But you take little bites of it. You want to accomplish, you want to do. That's what the Ribbono Shel Olam is asking you for. And Mir Tashem, you should take this message to heart. And you should recognize that tshuva is not an easy thing, but it is so very rewarding when we are able to come to Hashem with new things, with a small tenet, but I made it myself. And the Kohen says, that is very, very miyuchad. That's very special. More special than the one who's doing all the mitzvahs all the time. Think about that. He's the fancy schmancy guy with the silver and the gold. No, I don't want that. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, I want what you worked on hard. That's awesome. He's not going to laugh at you, go, Hashem, I come to you on Rosh Hashanah with these Mishnayos that I learned. Mishnayos? You're 19 years old. All you did is Mishnayos? No. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, you owned it. That's your Mishnayos. Somebody asks you a question, you know it. That Gemara that you're learning, I know that daf. That's what Hashem is asking you for. I mean, Hashem, with that, we should be zeichet to chesiva chesima toiva, with all the zechuyos of the Torah. And in Mirtz Hashem, we should see the binyan beis hamigdash hashlishi, where you can bring bikurim bizmano biito in the proper time, in the beis elokeinu b'tifarteinu.